face, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay this man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, we're up by Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Ali. Mr. Matt Weber. S&P futures up 675. Dow futures up 52. NASDAQ futures up 27. It's less than half where they were last night. Maybe about right about half. Last night they were up a lot more than that, and we have slipped down here a little bit. Maddie, an interesting weekend everywhere, huh? Between impeachment and Joe Madden and what the hell?
The Bears.
The Bears. And I didn't see it because I admit to dozing last Thursday night, but all I heard all weekend was the disgusting nature of the new NFL rule regarding pass interference and how Green Bay and somebody else challenged one that absolutely should have been overturned and was not because they're too gutless and won't overturn it. And it cost both teams the game, and I don't know, I didn't watch either one of those games, so I don't know. But interesting stuff. Clemson almost got beat.
Yeah, I saw Clemson, the number one team in college football, won by 1 point against North Carolina. Mac Brown's North Carolina Tar Heels.
Only because they went for two and didn't make it.
So that was interesting.
Now, if you think you don't have the better team, which would you do, go for two or try your luck in the overtime?
If I thought I didn't, if I was pretty confident that I didn't have the better team, I think I like the idea of going for two. You got a one shot coin flip here to win a game against a team that you have no business winning against.
Yeah.
Against Clemson, certainly that line was probably, I don't know, 20.
Was that much? Wow.
I'd have to look, but I assume. I mean, I don't think North Carolina is particularly good. That being said, the rule in a lot of cases was if you're at home and you have the home crowd behind you, you should try to go for overtime. And, hopefully that the home crowd helps you out. But against Clemson, when the number one team in the country, and you're a 500 type of team, I don't know. I like the call going for two, and they just didn't get it.
Yeah, I wonder if it probably has something to do also with your, I mean, do you really have a play you think might score? At that point, you see what you've been doing, what's been working whatsoever, then you gotta, if you just flip a coin for a play, I don't know if that's so good either. It's got to be one you must think you like.
Yeah, you better run your best 2-yard play.
Yeah.
3-yard play or whatever. I didn't see any of that game. I was in Kansas City all weekend for a wedding that I was in. Not that groom.
Is anybody you or Jill know not married by this time?
Well, it's weird because, I went to a bunch of weddings in my late 20s, mid to late 20s, because you had your first wave of people that get married very young. But all of my close friends... we weren't even close to getting married in our 20s. It wasn't even something that crossed our mind.
You had a girlfriend when I first met
you. We had many girlfriends, of course.
You had the babe would give you the healthy lunch that you'd throw out.
Many girlfriends, Chief, but no thoughts of getting married. Too young. Wanted to enjoy 20s, wanted to work toward building up a career of some sort. And now it's a second wave of weddings that are happening, and it's actually my closer friends that are getting married in our mid-30s. And
was this one of your pals or Jill's?
This is one of my best friends, Jeff. Right. Yeah, he lives in the city, but with his now wife, she was originally from Kansas City, and since her folks, I think, put up the dough for the wedding, or most of it anyway, they said, you're getting married in Kansas City. That was it.
Do you have ribs?
Barbecue. We did, absolutely. Good. Rehearsal dinner at Jack Stacks, it was fantastic.
Really? Yeah, well, you went to Jack Stacks, wow.
Oh, yeah, classic Kansas City place. Had the sausage, the ribs, the brisket, the pulled pork, everything, the baked beans. It was outstanding.
Wow, sounds good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Well, what do you make of the idea that you would leave Joe hanging the whole year like this, I think hurt the team. It hurt him. I think for the first time he might have lost control of the clubhouse. I think this is a really bad show by the Cubs management. And with Ricketts as the owner, it doesn't surprise me, to be honest with you. But
I don't disagree with that. It was they clearly didn't have an edge, but I would argue that they didn't have much of an edge in the 2018 team either. So I would say, I don't know if he lost control or not. I always liked Joe. I still like Joe, and I hope he does well wherever he goes next. But after that obviously the 2015 team was awesome, and especially in the second half, and they came very close. I mean, they made it to the NLCS. And they got beat by the Mets because Daniel Murphy just played out of his mind. But that team wasn't that far away from winning at all in 2015. Then in 2016, they're basically wire-to-wire the best team in baseball the whole year. And win over 100 games. They go through the playoffs, and then they win the World Series, and it was awesome. 2017 team, there was a bit of a hangover the first couple of months, but everyone kind of expects that. I mean, we saw it the Red Sox this year, and they never got out of it.
Well, they also, it seems like that extra month takes everything out of your starting pitching.
Yeah, and bullpen. Yeah. And
but it's getting like hockey. It's not just seven games like it used to be.
Right. But the difference is that in the second half of the 2017 season, the Cubs really started playing well after the All-Star break, and they made a couple of additions at the trade deadline. And then all of a sudden, they get into the playoffs, and they beat the Nationals, winning that Game 5 on the road. And then they go to the NLCS again, and they were overmatched by the Dodgers. But that team had a lot of heart and played well and absolutely, you know, had the edge that the 15 and 16 team did.
Well, every year their pitching's gotten worse.
But I would agree, and I think their depth has gotten worse. Yeah. And but the 2018 and then this year, it was like they just could never get it going. I mean,
I don't think they were that good.
And maybe they weren't, but I think they have more than enough talent. I think they're way more talented than the Cardinals and Brewers. I mean, way more.
Cardinals have two lights out pitchers right now.
The Cardinals, yeah, Flaherty especially, and then, you know, Wainwright has had a renaissance in the second half, and they've had a couple other guys that have been good. I agree with that. But yeah, top to bottom, I just don't see it, them having anywhere near the talent the Cubs have, and same for the Brewers, especially when you take Yelich out, which they played without Yelich for the last month, and they it's like they played better. So I don't know if that's Madden's fault. In fact, I don't think the managers matter that much. I've said that before on this show. So, but some you can't fire all the players. I mean,
I think some of the other coaches are in this total lack of a pitching coach. To me, we were talking about Saturday. I haven't seen one guy in the last 2 years come out and say, "Wow, I got here and all I needed was a slider or a sinker, and this guy worked with me all spring, and now all of a sudden, I'm going through the lineup the third time, and I got a fourth pitch or a third pitch, and I didn't have before, and I don't see one guy improving." Look at Carl Edwards. Nothing but talent, gone. Strope, no worriesville. I mean, everybody they were counting on, everybody's backed up instead of going forward.
Yeah, and you're right about that. Those two guys in particular, certainly, but typically in baseball, when you look at bullpen pitchers, that's just kind of how it goes. I mean, Kimbrel was the best closer in all of baseball for like a 4-year stretch, and then at the end of last year he fell apart, and then the Cubs, you know, took a flyer on him, and now they're stuck with him, and he looks like he's shell of what he was.
There's a reason why everybody didn't want him.
Well, that's just one example, but all across baseball, bullpen guys it's very difficult for like the Mariano Rivera long, you know, term success out of the bullpen. For some reason, it's a year over year thing. Now the starting pitching, like Tyler Chatwood is a guy they brought in and they thought would be good, and he just never really worked. He was pretty good out of the bullpen this year, but as a starter, he didn't work. But you could argue Cole Hamels, who sucked with the Rangers, came here and got way better. And had a good, really good year and a half run with the Cubs at the twilight of his career. So I don't know that I agree with that. I mean,
I don't think
there's some guys that got better, some guys that got worse.
I don't think they're teaching Cole Hamels anything.
Jake Arrieta got here, and the Orioles just gave up on him and traded him for a bag of balls. And he was the best pitcher in baseball with the Cubs for 3 or 4 years.
Well, so I'm just saying, that's what I'm saying. The pitching coach before this guy did that. I really
Chris Bosio, who they had the 15-16 and beginning of the 17 season, was their guy, and then he fell out of favor. I'm not sure why, and I think he had some off-the-field stuff, because the next place he went, he got fired from, too.
Well, he had the racial comment in Detroit or whatever.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but the next couple of guys they brought in, I don't know if they were good or not. I have no idea personally don't think it matters that much, to be honest. I think
well, I mean, it depends on the people.
At the big league level.
What's his name? Billy Connors taught Steve Trout the sinker in the latter part of his career. He was better his last 2 years than he ever was. I mean, once he learned that pitch. And I think in today's baseball, especially with everybody launch angle and heading for the world, as Dennis Eckersley said, as a relief pitcher, he goes, there's strikeout relief pitchers that are good, and there's guys that make people hit the ball on the ground, but the ball sinks as it goes in. And he goes, guys that can do both are the stars, and that's what put him in the Hall of Fame. And he goes, but the Cubs don't have anybody like that. If they miss high over the middle of the plate, and it's gone. I mean, relief pitcher has got to be a ground ball, maybe strikeout guy, but ground ball is more important than up in the air. And they don't have anybody like that. They just throw it 98 miles an hour, don't care where it goes. And I mean, that's why, one of the reasons why there's so many home runs in baseball. I think, I mean, I, you know, who do we have anybody on the team that even throws a sinker? I mean, where the ball sinks at all?
Sure. I mean, Jose Quintana, that's kind of all.
Yeah, he's one of them.
Throws a lot of those. But, yeah, I mean.
But, I mean, this team has totally degraded. And I get the issue is the first line of defense to yourself is you fire a manager. But does Theo and the other, who's the other goofball?
Jed Hoyer.
Jed Hoyer, do they honestly think? I mean, when you listen to, what's her name? The lady does the Monday night, Jessica.
Mendoza.
When they talk, he'll say, "Who do you like? Who's your top six teams in baseball?" And the Clubs aren't even close in terms of.
Well, clearly they aren't even close.
Well, but if you go down the lineup, I mean, other than names, and there's a few people that have advanced this year. Other than names, you've got. I know you're not into this, but we have a couple people hitting close to 300. Rizzo had a good year, and we had Chris Bryant had. You know, not a great year for him, but a good year for anybody else. And those guys are solid, but they've got guys, you know, it's 240, 235. Man, it doesn't cut it. It just doesn't cut it on a championship team. I mean, if that's what you're looking for, it's just not, there's not enough team hits over the course of the year. And a lot of those team hits, they're even more so, are when they're, you know, when it's in a blowout. Which is even more bizarre because those guys, they have guys that just can't hit good pitching and can't hit other pitching. I mean, it always used to be like that, but I don't know. There somehow seems to be a really huge difference today between people scrub pitchers and their good ones. But, we have people with more strikeouts than they have hits. I mean, you just can't do that. And they refuse to play, to bunt. I mean, how many times do you get a manager who's supposed to be running the place? I don't see why these guys don't choke up and just meet the ball. And God's sake, you're the manager. Next time somebody does that, sit them down. You know, like they bench. What was they bump in the natural, right?
Right.
And they never embarrass these guys. I mean, I'm not saying you should on a general basis. You got to live with people, but something's weird. But I mean, if Hoyer and the other guy think that they're going to get a new manager, all of a sudden these guys are going to better win next year. The pitchers will be another year older. How many pitchers do you think they need? Two? Is there any of these young guys that came up look like they could possibly get a spot? I thought the one guy.
I think they have one or two guys that they like that could potentially fill in, and I think they're going to try to make some big moves this offseason. I think you have to after an 84-win season when you're statistically they should have won 91 games based on their runs scored and runs allowed. And 91 games would have tied the Cardinals atop the division and at worst wins a wild card. And instead you perform 7 games worse than that. And that's typically how managers are rated. If you perform above or below what your runs allowed and runs.
Yeah, but this year, that to me is the most useless stat. Cause the Cubs had for a team that had so many runs, they had so many shutouts. I mean, the thing is, what I'm not your statistics, but because you love them, I'm giving you crap about it. I was listening to I was watching them play the Pirates last week. The game was so boring that, what's his name? Deshays had nothing but stats on the Pirates. Manny, it's out of this world. The team earned run average is the worst in Pirate history since 1898 or something, or 1888.
Today? Or this year?
This year.
It was, yeah.
And yet they set a record for strikeouts. I mean, how can that even remotely be? I mean, really, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he said something like, through all of baseball to 1999, there were something like 20 teams that hit 200 home runs. And now this year, did 20 teams do it? Or 18 or something? The stats are, these stats are just are totally off. And I don't know what they're telling you.
When you're talking about, home runs this year and strikeouts, the strikeouts have trended up every year for the last 10 years or whatever it is. And the home runs were pretty much flat for the last several years once they got steroids out of the baseball. And then all of a sudden, the last couple of years, this ball changed and the home runs are way up again. So, those stats are absolutely off. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But when you're just talking about runs scored and runs allowed, that it's pretty simple. It typically tells you a certain win total that you're supposed to have. Doesn't mean you're going to every year. In fact, you probably don't. But over a long period of time, when you score, your run differential is this much based on runs scored and runs allowed over a 162-game season, they have a pretty accurate prediction of how many wins you should have. And the Cubs are well below that this year. And I'm not saying that's Joe Maddon's fault, because we know a lot of the flaws. Like you said, sometimes they win 16-6 and they look great. And then the very next day they lose 2-0. And you're like, what the hell happened? Well, according to their run differential, they looked really good those two games. But the record is they're 1-1.
I'm going to say that if you lob this one out there, because we do this in the other stuff we talk about a lot, which we probably should talk about a little bit here, but if you were to take, I would say the Cubs have the biggest spread between the mean amount of runs they score and the median than any team in baseball.
Yeah, I wonder if I can, if that's tracked.
I bet it isn't. Well, you get the average. You get the average. Just divide the total amount by 162.
Right.
And that gives you your mean, but I don't know how you're going to get the median. But I think if you were to take, you could do if you lined all the games up. If you took the top 20 run scoring games out and then average the rest, I bet the Cubs are pretty low.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, if you did that with every team.
No. I mean, the Cubs are the only ones I've seen that would win, 13 or 14-2 and then lose the next day one zip.
Yeah, I think there's, I know last year there was some truth to that. I don't know if there was this year or not. It's possible.
Anyway, what do you think, make of your weekend of impeachment before we have Carl on?
I mean, I didn't get to follow it that closely because I was in Kansas City all weekend. I didn't even get to follow sports that closely, although I did land back in time to watch the Bear game yesterday. But I watched a little bit of the 60 Minutes report last night before Jill made me turn it off because it was so boring.
Yeah.
But, no, it's, what my opinion is, everyone knows how I feel about this president. I dislike every single thing about him, and I dislike people that support him, and I don't understand it. But I also know that it's really, really hard to impeach a president, and I would say there's no chance that there's an impeachment that goes through here.
Well, I hope both things happen. That either the Democrats, who's ever on the committee, it goes through the evidence. If there's not enough evidence, and it looked like somebody reached, I hope they have the stones to say there's not enough evidence, it ends here. And if there is enough evidence, and it gets to the Senate, and I think I would hope that who's ever on the Republican side says it looks to me like they got enough stuff and I'm voting to get them out of here. I mean, I don't see the one.
One Republican has said that he would vote for it. There's no chance they're going to get the votes. These guys are so party line, it's unbelievable.
But
that's on both sides.
I listened to many people this weekend talk about it. I went down to Notre Dame and spent time with my significant other. And, I've suspected this, and I was actually, a couple of my buddies were in town. One of them, Dave Murphy, has been a teacher in California his whole life, terrific guy, and a coach out there. I've sensed this in society, Maddie, for the last really 20, 25 years. When I was growing up in my own little Irish Catholic ghetto, we had nuns and all this other stuff. If you did something, winging snowballs in the playground, if there were three people involved, the teachers usually would involve all three people and calling home or whatever. And then, if it turns out over a period of time, the parents, how many people were throwing snowballs? Four. How come I'm the only one who got the letter? It didn't matter to mom or the nuns. You were throwing the snowballs. You got punished or whatever. Now, if two or three more times happen where you're the only one who got singled out, the parent would have the stones to call the principal and say, is there a message here? What's going on? And the principal would say, why? Why could that be? Because they would care, too. Now, it's a totally separate situation. I'm going 85 miles an hour. The speed limit's 70. I get a ticket. But today's world, and you're younger than me, today's world, this has morphed into, if somebody else was doing it and they didn't get caught, it's a get out of jail card for me. And you know what? As a society, that's really wrong. That really sucks. You may think that you're going 85 and a 70, and the day before you saw a guy going 90, he didn't get caught. That means he might get caught tomorrow, whatever it is. Unless there isn't a vendetta out against you personally by that cop, you know, it may in fact be true that you were the one guy who got caught, but you were guilty. You have nothing to do with these other people. I mean, when Tricky Dick went down, you didn't have 45 swinging idiots come flying in there and tweeting or whatever you could do in those days. Hey, I saw Hubert Humphrey or George McGovern looking in the classifieds for, second floor burglars, and they just couldn't find one or else they'd have, it's all about Nixon. It was at the time. Nobody cared if George McGovern thought of doing a break-in or Hubert Humphrey walked up to the building, saw it was the third floor, and he couldn't make it to the third floor and turn around and walk in. It has nothing to do with any of these other people. It's all about Tricky Dick at the time. What did he do as president, and was it bad enough to throw his ass out? Now, right now, it's not about, I talked to a couple of people that are very close to me. Well, I don't care. Pelosi would do the same thing. It's not about Pelosi. Yeah, but what about Hillary's emails? It's not about Hillary's emails. This is about, but this is not the first time I've heard this. My kid was singled out, therefore he's innocent. No, he's not. He's still guilty. Maybe they don't like the kid because they don't like, I don't know, but maybe the fact, it's two separate wrongs. One is your kid was singled out. The other is he's guilty. Or she. I mean, why?
Or we'll catch the other kids next time.
Yeah. But this is every single person I talk to is, well, Democrats are just as bad. Everybody else lies just as much. He's a politician. And I said, but this is, he's a businessman. What does that mean? Well, he's a businessman. He's going to try and shake these guys down for America because he loves America. What are you talking about? He shakes people down for America. I don't want somebody shaking people down for me. But it's all about the other side. Well, gee, but what about Pelosi? What about Hillary? Hillary's been gone for 3 years. She got a fork stuck in her. What about her emails? Who cares about her emails? That's not what this is about. And you know what? I got nowhere all weekend, Manny. I got nowhere. So we are in deep trouble here, according to me, morally. I don't know what it is. It's not a, no, nobody feels that they're guilty of anything. Well, gee, we had a guy in the show. Every time somebody gets a ticket, all he did was say, you deserved it. And then one time he got one, he must have whined at me for an hour about how the guy could have let him go, and it was the last 30 feet of the school zone when he had his cell phone on him. You know, plus I saw three other people doing the same thing. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. It just means it happened to be your bad day. Anyway, am I wrong or not?
I'm with you.
S&P Futures up 9 now. Dow Futures up 68. S&P Futures up 33. After a break, Carl Denninger can calm me down or make me worse. I don't know. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie, Mr. Man Weber. Should have Mr. Gerald Deninger in a second. S&P futures up 8.25. They're like 13.5, 14 last night. NASDAQ futures up 30.5. Dow futures up 69 over in Asia. We've got the Nikkei down 123.6%. Shanghai down 26.9%. Hang Seng the other way up 137.5%, even though they had all kinds of problems in Hong Kong. DAX down 264, call that flat. FTSE up down 17.2%. CAC round up 2, call that flat. Bonds 1.69 on a 10-year. One minus 0.56. Japanese, well, let's come up a little bit. Minus only 0.20. Well, it's been around there pretty much the whole time. It would look like it was coming back up, but then it's kind of stopped. Well, down 55 cents, 55.36. Brent down 88 cents, 61 bucks. Natural gas, 237. Wow, it's below the spot I said was to buy a while ago. Imagine that. RBOB, 164. Gas in Indiana, cheapest I saw, maybe 243. I paid 261 yesterday in Orland. Gold, down 12 bucks, 14.93, the lowest we've seen in a while. Silver down 37 cents, 17.27. Think we got enough rain? What do we got for traffic, weather, sports, and rain?
I would say we did have a lot of rain all across the Midwest this weekend, but it's going to be nice today. We'll get to that in a minute, 35 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have one issue in Chicagoland traffic so far. The two left lanes are blocked due to a car fire on Route 53 eastbound just before Beesterfield Road out in the western suburbs. This is right off the I-290 Eisenhower Expressway on the inbound side. Expect significant delays on Route 53 and on I-290 as they intersect due to this car fire, and then the gapers on the northbound side of Route 53 as well. But everything else is looking okay out there so far. No issues coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. When you're further inbound on I-290, no issues there. Same for the Stevenson. Southside Expressway is looking good, too. One other issue, looks like a new road work configuration on the exit ramp to the southbound tri-state off of I-88 goes into effect today. And so they're expecting some delays as folks get used to that this week. Everything else looking good out there. Weather today, it's going to be a hot and steamy Indian summer type of day today. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 85 as we warm up significantly this afternoon. Right now, it's mostly cloudy and 68 degrees downtown and lots of fog in the area. In fact, there's a dense fog advisory in effect for the morning rush, but then that will clear off and be hot and steamy this afternoon. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 90 today. Right now, it's clear and 66. In sports, the Bears are now 3-1, Chief, as they took care of the Vikings. In fact, they had no issue with the Vikings, dominating them in spite of having seven starters out of the lineup, including their starting quarterback, who was injured just a few plays into the game. More on that later in the week as Mitchell Trubisky
left. Do you think they ran the other guy enough? How stupid was that?
The quarterback?
Yeah,
that was interesting. But Trubisky left the game with a left shoulder injury and then watched the game from the sideline in a splint, which is never a good sign. Not his throwing arm, but still a significant injury. But Chase Daniel came in and played pretty well, I would say. Certainly well enough to win. Made a couple of nice throws. He was 22 of 30, just a 6.5 yard average for completion, yards per completion, 195 yards total, and he did have a touchdown pass and no interceptions, so the zero turnovers was a big thing.
Well, he was out both of his guards, which hurts.
Yeah, so the Bears were missing two guards, as you mentioned. They were missing a ton of guys on their defense. Obviously, they're missing Trubisky, but they were missing Roquan Smith. They were missing Akeem Hicks. And all kinds of guys. Lynch, I think, was out.
I hope it was something positive, like a baby.
Yeah, they said a personal matter, late game scratch. So I don't know what that is, but that doesn't sound great. So hopefully,
well, you think if it was a baby coming, they'd know.
But how good was that Kwiatkowski kid?
Yeah,
I mean, he was all over the field and played well on special teams as well. Bears made 3 for 3 in field goals. Eddie Pinheiro was one of the stars of the game, and again, they beat the Vikings 16-6. So the Bears are tied for first place in the NFC North with the Packers at 3-1. Cardinals lost to the Seahawks 27-10. Sunday Night Football, it was the Saints over the Cowboys 12-10. And in baseball...
So what's that all about? That great Dallas offense.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Well, they had to go on the road. The Cowboys played the easiest schedule in the NFL the first three games of the year and went 3-0. And then last night they played their first above 500 team that they played all season, even without Drew Brees, and they couldn't do anything. Cubs wrapped
up
their season.
What is it about me? Like, I don't mind when Jerry Jones loses.
I don't mind it either. Cubs wrapped up their season losing to the Cardinals 9-0. Joe Maddon was told, as we've talked about the first half hour of the show, that they will not be renewing him after his contract expired after five seasons. Maddon made the playoffs 4 out of those 5 years, including 3 NLCS appearances, 1 World Series appearance, and a World Series championship in 2016. He averaged over 94 wins per season as Cubs manager, but this year, going just 84-78 was not good enough, and the Cubs decided to make a change. White Sox wrapped up their season beating the Tigers 5-3. Sox have not made the playoffs in 11 years after another losing season. The Diamondbacks topped the Padres 1-0.
But they had both the highest batting average guy.
Yeah, congratulations, by the way, to Tim Anderson, who won the
RBI total?
I think so.
No, but now he's not under contract, Abreu, right?
Yeah, they're going to have to decide to re-sign him or not, or, you know, he'll decide, obviously, as well. But the Sox are 72-89 on the season, just another horrible year. But they did have some positive signs, as you mentioned. Tim Anderson, even though he missed a bunch of games, won the batting title and had enough plate appearances to qualify. And congratulations to him on that. And they definitely have some young pieces. Moncada is a good player. And they'll get some pitching back next
year.
Jimenez
is a hell of a player. I mean.
Yeah, Eloy has a lot of upside. We know that. And he can certainly hit over 30 home runs this year. So, yeah, the White Sox definitely have some bright spots, but not having even made the playoffs once in the last 11 years, to say their fan base is hungry would be an understatement.
Well, this whole concept. Hey, Carl, one quick second, but we have two guys now of amazing pedigree, Joel Glanville, and we've got Joe Maddon seeing the door after spectacular runs where the team has gotten older and less of a team. And you can only imagine the men of enormous ego that are the general managers. Hey, coach, what's the matter? The matter is I don't have any players because of you. You can only, I mean, this has nothing to do with ability to manage people or Glanville being able to coach hockey. This obviously has to do with an ego. It's a blame game between the people and the place. Instead of the owner.
Well, yeah, and then why do I have no players? That there might be a money problem there too, right?
Well, I mean, the Hawks signed their four key players to amazing amounts of money a few years ago, and now those guys aren't even in the top. Well, except for Patrick Kane, probably aren't even the top 25 players in all of hockey. So every year, as the new contract came up, they've dumped essentially a budding young star or two, right, Matty? To get under the salary cap.
Yeah.
So now they got those four older guys and basically a bag of pucks and a few good young guys. And then the goalie had a concussion issue and he was out for like 2 years, damn near. And now somehow they're counting on him again. How they're doing that, I have no idea.
And then on the baseball side, there is no salary cap, but the management made it clear that they're at the top of their spending. So they're not spending any higher.
Well, but they blew a boatload on Morrow.
Yeah.
They blew a boatload on Yu Darvish, who didn't do anything up until the last 2 months. And they blew a boatload on what's this guy who's terrible now?
Kimbrel.
Not to mention the outfielder.
Hayward.
Yeah.
Not to mention guys like Chatwood and stuff that they paid up to be so their fifth starter. And
six contracts up there, and two of them are even playing for him, right?
But they also have guys that are still making on their rookie contracts, like Baez and Schwarber and Bryant, who are would be paid way more on the open
right,
market.
And will be soon.
And will be soon. So.
Well, so that's where they are, but it's a first thing we're going to do is toss the manager. And I don't know, Carl, what do you make of, they didn't really fire him, they just didn't renew him. So that meant the whole year he was in limbo.
Which is well, weird. Yeah, you know, you gotta wonder about that sort of thing. I mean, it's, I don't know. To me, if you're gonna ask somebody to really, you know, put the nose down, right, and grind it, are you gonna do that when you know that you've been non-renewed?
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't have been the first conversation they've had.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't have been easy sort of being a lame duck and I have a feeling he knew he wasn't coming back, and that might affect your job too. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Of course, it affects your job.
But now,
it's crazy to think it wouldn't.
It seems to me, Carl, that the teams that have had the greatest runs over a long period of time, other than just massive amounts of money like the Yankees, are the teams that have had. I gotta go back to the Dallas Cowboys. They had the coach, the general manager, and the owner. And they all knew their role, and they had some good years, some bad years, mostly all good years, and they just hung in there. The Dodgers have had, what, like three managers, four managers in our lifetime? And what, Walter Alston, Lasorda?
They had Lasorda forever.
Yeah, well, they had Walter Alston forever before him.
Yeah,
and
the last few years, they've had a few guys.
But I mean, are you better off letting the players know that the manager is going to be there after you, or letting the players know that if they slough off, the manager goes? I mean, I don't know what message you'd really get out there.
Yeah,
right?
Bobby Cox was the Braves manager for 20 years.
And the Braves were
really good for most of those years.
Yep. And, you know, it's just kind of I doubt if you were listening earlier, Carl, but I was off on a kind of a rant saying that this, just the phenomenon that's happening with this impeachment to me is something that has been degrading in society for like, when I talked about this with my other old fart buddies, something had been degrading in this society, in my mind, for a real long time. Now, I know my upbringing, as I said earlier, is, you know, kind of an Irish Catholic ghetto with nuns and all that stuff. If somehow or another you were doing something wrong in class or someplace, it's on you. It's not the other three people that should have been caught with you. It doesn't give you a get-out-of-jail-free card. But in today's world, people honestly believe that. That if you're...
I know. Yeah. And it's terrible. And you know, that's... One of the things that I don't understand about all of this is you have to look at the history of this. All right, impeachment is a over the 200-odd years of this nation's history is an extraordinarily rare remedy. And do you know that the conviction rate's about 50%? Okay, in the Senate. There have only been two presidents that have been actually impeached. Neither was removed. Clinton, of course, is the one everyone knows about, right?
Right.
And then there's another aspect to this, which was interesting as well. The way to get impeached out of the federal government is to be a judge.
Well, yeah, I mean, some of those guys, it turns out they're just not, they never were qualified.
Well, no, it's not qualifications, corruption.
Okay, well,
it's what they're typically charged with is some form of the inside dealing or inside baseball, and the impeachments that end in actual ejection, where there's actually, you know, either the guy says, okay, I throw up my hands, and he walks off like Nixon, right?
Yeah.
Before they could impeach him, or you have a judge that actually goes through the whole process and he gets convicted in the Senate. In almost every one of those cases where you actually have a finding of you know, malfeasance of office and he's thrown out, it is for some form of corruption.
Well, I mean, like I said, I've sensed this coming. Obviously, it's right in front of your face. That people honestly feel that if they're going 85 and a 60 or 70, and they could point to a guy yesterday that they were doing 85 and he passed them up and he didn't get caught today, that they think they should be let off. I mean, it's an amazing. I mean, I guess I get the fact that if the policeman only pulls over gray haired Irish guys, I guess I got a problem with that. But it doesn't make me innocent. People think it actually makes you innocent.
Right. Well, that's part of the problem. That's, you know, what's going on here is that there's been so much corruption for so long. Essentially, the corrosive effect of this is not just a political thing. The business corrosive effect of this. If you want to run a bar on the corner or whatever, you'll be left alone because you don't make enough money for anybody to be really all that interested in hosing you, right? Unless somebody decides they want your land for some other purpose, you've got a problem. But short of that, you start selling the kids or something like that, you're going to have trouble. But in general, that sort of thing's fine. Now, come up with something that actually has the potential to be the, I don't make, you know, 10 or 100 times as much money, I make 10,000 times as much money.
Yep.
Alright? And you will be attacked from every side, both within the United States and outside. Your technology today will be stolen, it will be reproduced, it will be hacked, it will be distributed. And if you are trying to somehow get into, like, for example, selling products through Amazon or whatever have you, and you're extraordinarily successful, Amazon will figure out what that product is, they'll source it out of China, they will make sure that your listing is third or fourth or fifth or tenth on the list of similar things. You will not sell a single additional item, and they will destroy you. Now, this is rankly illegal, but it has been going on now in this country, this kind of stuff, for a long time, and no one goes to jail. So people say, well, you know, this impeachment thing is, you know, is the orange man bad, okay, or orange man good, whatever. But this same sort of corrosive nonsense has been going on in the business world for a long time. When I was running MCS, we saw the start of it in the internet space, and I could not get anybody in the regulatory apparatus of the state of Illinois interested in it.
No, they don't care.
And I was like, well, you know, I'm really, and as it turns out, I was, you know, I got out at the right time, right? Because today, what are your choices? The cable company?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, what options do you have? And by the way, all the DSL firms that were trying to compete with that, they all got forced out of business.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to have to try and go through this, Carl, without mentioning any names or anybody knowing what company I'm talking about. But we have a lot of clients. I won't say they hang together religiously. That's as far as I'll go. They love getting involved in these biotech-type places. A lot of them are doctors, and they get involved in these places. And they go kind of all in. And usually the place has, this is three or four now I've been involved in or been aware of, the product looks good. you know, be it a device, you know, a mechanical device or a drug. And they all go all in on these things. And inevitably, somebody bleeps them. You know, this particular time, the stock got to like 6, 6.5, and they're trying to get a NASDAQ listing. The minute they tried to do a NASDAQ listing, which puts you in a quiet period till they say yes or no, right? You can't say
right. Anything.
Well, somebody comes out with some big article about how the CEO is a crook and blah, 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 and the balance sheet actually is zero and this kind of crap. And stock goes from, you know, I say it drops by two-thirds. Well, now the NASDAQ still hasn't given them a yes or no, and this is 6 months now. It's supposed to take a month or something. So they must be involved or somebody there involved in it as well. And now that they can't give them a yes or no, and the company still can't defend themselves.
Right.
So I went out to talk to these guys, and I said, don't you guys understand that it's not about finding a company? I mean, I can't believe I'm giving people smarter than me, you know, brilliant people in their religion and so forth, I'm giving them this lecture like they're four-year-olds, Carl. I'm going, don't you guys understand that even if you have the best product in the world in this industry, and someday this company is going to be worth $50 a share, it's never going to get there. If it ever gets to 8, get the hell out, because that's when Merck Merck or Pfizer or somebody come in and get a marketing agreement with them and then just table the thing and it never goes anywhere. I mean, this thing will never go anywhere, no matter what it is. If it's a cure for polio, I mean, this is how crook. I mean, honestly, I know I sound awful on a Monday morning, Carl, but I'm not that far off here. I mean, you guys think you have something, and you probably do, but God, please, do not take everybody's wealth and put it in here. It's never going to work. It should, but it won't. I mean, if you get $8, $10, someday, somewhere, you'll end up selling it to somebody at $10 when it's worth $40. At least have the sense to sell it at 10. I mean, you know, I'd love to see somebody break through and tell these other guys to go pound sand, but Carl, they're getting stronger by the day. It's not going the other way.
Oh, I know. Yeah, no, it's a terrible issue. And you know, the thing is we see it in the political sphere. And people look at, you know, this Ukrainian thing, right?
Yeah.
And yet all the reporting that I saw all weekend long from every single place is that there is absolutely no evidence that Joe Biden did anything improper. Joe Biden on tape himself in front of the CFR said, I told the people that didn't fire this prosecutor that they weren't getting $1 billion, and SOB got fired. He bragged about it, for crying out loud, and they say there's no evidence that there was anything improper. Now, maybe he was fired for good and just cause.
I don't know.
But the idea that there was absolutely nothing behind the allegation, that there was some kind of interference, the guy was out there saying himself, I did it.
But, I mean, I think where I'm coming with this, and I don't disagree. First of all, I mean, I said Friday straight up, Joe Biden is not a sympathetic figure. But, I mean, any of these people, he's another Manafort. How many people are there running around making money in these corrupt foreign governments? Is there 1,000 of them, 100 of them, 10,000?
Well, yeah, and here's the thing with Ukraine. Yeah, you know, people don't want context on this, because as soon as you start going down that rabbit hole, boy, oh, boy, does it go a long way. You have to remember that during Obama's terms in office, we literally destroyed their existing government. We interfered in their elections, and we got the guy who was running the place. Now, he was a corrupt SOB, don't get me wrong, but we literally went over there and got him thrown out of office and replaced.
Well, that was the guy with the huge palace?
Yeah. And oh, by the way, our interference in that country's political situation is why Russia invaded Crimea, because Crimea is Russia's only 12-month deep water naval port, and they were never going to give that up. They'd have a nuclear war first, because otherwise, how do you get your ships out of port in the middle of December?
Hey, with global warming, they might have not a problem with that.
Well, you don't know, but I'm saying, you know, but I mean, strategically, that it was just never going to happen, and whoever in the State Department, put us down that path, they really ought to hang for it, for real.
Well, I don't disagree with any. But I talked this weekend to everybody, including people very close to me. I'll say no further. well, Pelosi's crooked. This person's someday, somewhere, Carol, somebody has to be a Solomon there and say, I don't care. Today is the day you're getting spanked. Tomorrow I'll take care of the rest of the people. And if I do one a day, maybe people start to get the idea. But if he shook these guys down and some people come out of the woodwork, other, you know, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I hope it doesn't. And obviously, I hope this gets into the Congress, it gets into the committee, and the committee, even though they're mostly Democrats, say we don't have enough of ends here. I mean, I honestly believe that's what I hope happens, Carl. And I hope that the Democrats are strong enough to do that if they don't have the evidence. If they do have the evidence and it goes to the Senate, then I hope the Republicans say, looks to me like the guy cheated on his expense account. Even though I like him, he's got to go. So, I mean, I hope somewhere along the way that this process works. And yet, our own citizens, and every single person I talked to, except for my couple buddies from Notre Dame, I don't know what that says, are absolutely convinced the process is useless. They know way more already than the people that are gathering the evidence. They haven't even gotten it yet. They've learned more. They've learned enough from social media. They're an efficient judge and jury, and they've made their decision. He's either innocent or he's not. And obviously, that's on one side or the other. The fact is, Carl, let's just start. I mean, if every American thinks the process is that horrible, what are we doing here?
Here's the other thing, though, too. While it is not actually required by law, there is a very clean argument that until there's an actual vote taken in the House, that there is no impeachment inquiry.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
And so here's the problem. All these committee chairmen are subpoenaing people for depositions and such during this recess, but there is no official inquiry. Now, how many of them do you think are going to run to lawyers and say, quash that subpoena? All of them.
Yeah, I mean, the way I understood it, there needs to be a House vote to have an inquiry, which there hasn't been.
Right.
Then it goes to committee, and then the committee comes out with articles if they have them, and then they vote to go forward out of committee, correct?
And then they vote on the floor on the articles.
Right.
Okay. And if they get at least one article that passes, then it goes to the Senate for a trial. And at that point, there's nothing that anyone can do about it. It goes to the Senate. But if you go to the Senate on a trial, the other side, whoever you're trying to impeach, gets to call witnesses, gets to subpoena people, just like any other trial.
Right.
And you can't take the Fifth because it's a purely political process. There is no criminal culpability.
Right. Okay.
So Trump can turn around and subpoena everybody. Now, you know, there's some nuances there because just like any other parliamentary thing, there'll be objections and, you know, what's ruled in order and out of order. And oh, by the way, Roberts presides over it, Chief Justice.
Okay.
So that's the process. But my expectation is that they are going to vote out articles and they're not going to go through the process to authorize the inquiry first. The committees are going to come up with their articles. Pelosi's going to get them all together, all the committees together in a dark, smoky room. They're going to come up with articles, they're going to put it on the floor, and they've got the votes to get it out. And that's how it's going to go down, and you watch it. They will come out somewhere in the next month and a half, 2 months. Before the end of the year, you will have articles voted out on the floor.
Well, if they're there, I'd like to see them do it. If they're not, I'd like to see them say don't do it.
Well, so would I, but they're going to vote the articles out whether it's there or not.
First of all, okay, you just said it, all right? I'm hoping that doesn't happen, that they either have the evidence or they don't, that they don't embarrass themselves and the rest of us by not having evidence and just winging them out there. I mean, why does everybody, I mean, you and I, because we see this not work, maybe have somewhat of a legitimate reason to question the people sort of involved, but everything I've gotten, we've got the tweet storms. Maybe I'll tell you, we can't even answer them. The tweet storms and everything else are flying up. It's everybody knows everything, and then the thing has just started. I mean, everybody's convinced they read it. I mean, we're digging the deep state that Ukraine has Hillary's emails. What's this got to do with Hillary's emails? I have no idea, Carl. What do I got to do with Trubisky's injury? I wasn't even there. You know, I mean, we can't get our population to sit down and say this is about this guy in the last 2.5-3 years, and what he's done in office, and was it proper or not. And we're going to have an investigation, and hopefully the people there do their job correctly. If we don't believe any of that, what are we doing? Are we starting over? Do we have another constitutional committee? Or are we just going to break apart into this, like the Star Trek episode where you got a bunch of cretins in the room, and everything is public opinion. Is there anybody now who isn't judged in 2 days after they hit the press or the tweets?
I don't think so. And you know, one of the things that's really kind of nasty about this is that if you think about the primary argument here that's being raised, it's that as soon as you're a presidential candidate, whatever you did in the years prior to that is immune from discovery and immune from being punished. Well, and you're immune because the other guy can't come after you because that's improper by definition. Well, no, it isn't. Okay, if you're a crook, you're still a crook. Now the question is, was the office improperly leveraged? That's a different question.
Yeah.
Question, however, isn't was you know what qualification did somebody have to sit on a board and get paid $50,000 a month? Is the qualification that he was selling his office to the vice president who's sitting in the office at the time? Because if that's the qualification, that's crooked as you know what. And yes, that's an appropriate investigation to have. And no, you don't get away with it because you declared yourself as president, as a candidate for president of the United States.
Well, I have absolutely no issue, Carl, with looking at. I mean, Manafort's going to jail for what he did.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no issue if Biden did something. But you know what? Everybody. I mean, how do you? Again, I don't want to do what I'm accusing other people of not doing, or you know, but when I was on the board of the SIBO, I only bring that up because that's how I got in these meetings. I'd go out and the guy who was the guy just died. Who was the guy who didn't get the head of the CFTC? So he went off to get he left. He was on the CFTC forever. The guy with the little shock of blonde hair and half bald. What the hell was his name? And he died young. He wasn't a bad guy or anything. And I don't want him dead, but I forget his name. Maybe Maddie can look it up, but he was Tom Daschle's clerk or somebody's clerk, and somebody else was somebody else's clerk. I mean, the influence. I mean, it's not the smartest kid coming out of Northwestern or Notre Dame or DePaul or Loyola Law School. I mean, it's the guy who gets the job on the floor that is the agricultural committee gopher that ends up being on the CFTC. He's never worked in the industry, never worked on the trading floor. These guys don't know
right.
anything. I mean, this idea of it. I mean, look at the boards around here. The boards, the company boards are mainly composed of other executives that essentially are voting themselves a raise every time they vote a raise for you. They will never vote against one. And you've got a bunch of clone, minority and women that are on 20 boards. Now, some of that's changing, by the way. So my blanket statement accusation is changing. Are the same African American and women that are on 20 boards because they've never voted no to a raise either. It's not like, they're regular people that get there and use common sense. I mean, it's not like I'm not accusing every board member, but it becomes nothing more than a club to push the management class, because they are the management class, and that's not what boards are supposed to be. So, does it surprise me that a board of a group in Ukraine would like the son of a VP of the U.S. on the board? No. It's endemic all over the place. He's not going to...
Well, yeah, and now remember, there's another aspect to this that nobody wants to talk about. Okay, because it now we're on the red side of the table, right, instead of the blue side, which is where this began, and that is that Mitt Romney's national security advisor during his 2012 campaign, the guy who incidentally was the counterterrorism head at the time that 3,000 Americans got murdered by a bunch of terrorists. Okay, in other words, he failed miserably at his job, which is to prevent that kind of thing from happening. He is now on the board, and he was hired about 6 months after Hunter Biden resigned.
Carl, you can't get rid of these people.
Now, what is Mitt Romney's, pal from the who's a deep CIA spook? What in the devil is he doing over there on that board?
Well, Carl, my theme this morning, though I'm usually clumsy at it, and that's why I need you to help me out. My theme this morning is, how much of this is every American looking in the mirror and saying, that's me? I mean, I went to a reception. These guys opened up this new office downtown here, and I'll be very blunt. It's a very connected minority firm, okay? Gets a piece of every new issue, blah, 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 and they get this. Well, they've turned out to be good, but they're also black, right? And that's why they're there everywhere. So I go to the reception, and it's, of course, the the building turns the air conditioning off, Carl, so I'm in my suit and it's hotter than hinges of hell. And I, you know, I can't believe the building turned the air conditioning off because it was after 5 o'clock. I mean, it was brutal in there. But everybody's there. Jesse Jackson, the governor, who's the guy, Manny, who's the guy who's the head of the Senate, the Democratic guy everybody loves to hate.
Madigan,
a couple of other guys. Well, and the governor is, what's his name? The guy looks like Elmer Fudd. The honest guy.
Quinn,
yeah. You know, guess who's talking to Quinn? Me. Nobody else wants to talk to him. Because he was, I don't know if he was the best governor, but he's a very honest man. He never believed in giving out any favors. Nobody wants to talk to him.
Yeah, nobody wants anything to do with him.
But the other guys, there's a line in front of him to kiss the ring or the mistletoe or whatever else it is. Is part of the fact that we don't like Joe Biden over there that we're jealous it's not us? I mean, it's not like anybody wouldn't. How do people get on boards here? I know people that are on boards, don't know anything about the product, don't know about the people, but they're celebrities, they're something, there's somebody they want on the board. I mean, I was going to say something very politically incorrect. The blonde woman who is the head of the company that bought out the a couple of the generic drug comes and raise the prices way up. You see the
problem? Yeah, I don't remember. You're not talking about the whole Serrano scam. That was a different thing.
Yeah, but did you see the board on that place?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who was on the board?
Well, Kissinger, among others.
Did he ever go to a meeting? He was on the board. Was Schwarzkopf? Somebody like that.
Yeah.
I mean, so somebody says, here's a board. You never have to show up. By the way, it's 150 grand. We just want to use your name, and they do it. Now, are we going to throw Henry in jail? I mean, I think what is happening is one of my lawyer friends, was saying for the first time, we're ripping the scab off that the one thing Trump has done, and he may bring us down because of it, but he's also ripping the scab off a lot of stuff that regular people should have known about all along and now they're stunned when they see it. I mean, part of it's him, because he was a crook before, he's a crook now, in my mind. But everybody I say that to, Pelosi's as big a crook. It's not about Pelosi, you idiot. You know, I mean, well, maybe she'll have her turn if she is a crook, you know, whatever. But that's not a get out of jail card for Trump that you think Pelosi's a crook too. That does, two other crooks doesn't make an innocent. I mean,
right.
I'm sure that there were plenty of guys that wished they were Al Capone, and if he wasn't there, somebody else would have picked up the mantelpiece, and somebody else was, you know, the guy down the block in the drugstore was selling alcohol. It doesn't mean Al Capone's innocent if you can point to 15 other people selling booze. It doesn't mean he's innocent. One does not equal the other. But you know what? Am I the only guy who thinks that way, Kyle? You and me, or what?
Well, I think we're about all that's left. I mean, it's, you know, unfortunately, what this has turned into in the United States is my side wins, your side loses, we don't care how we get there.
Right. One, it's...
And that's dangerous, because at some point, someone turns around and says, oh, no, you're wrong, and since I can't win any other way, guess which way I'm going to win?
Well, that's right. That's exactly right. Well, I mean, do you think... I mean, let's involve our new, very mature liberal friend, Mr. Matt Weber. Matty, of a different age group, or even people in my age group, if you lose all sense that your Justice Department is good, the process is good, and this is, what do you got left? I mean, what makes us different other than we got some money? What makes us different than, you know, Zimbabwe? I mean, if you can just pick a guy up, have 58 tweets going against him, and hang him the next day, what does that make us? It makes us barbarians. That's where we came from. Do we want to go back there? I mean, we know that the process is never going to be perfect, but are we really prepared to throw it out and just do this all ourselves by the media?
I don't want to go back there, and I've said all along, you know, do I lean left in my social views? Yes. But I would throw anybody in jail that is involved in any sort of corruption. I got no issue. I don't care what side. I don't care if it's a Republican president that runs the country or a Democratic president. I just don't want any more corruption. That's it.
Well, I would agree. But there's always going to be some.
I Carl's right. Everyone's like, as long as my side wins, I don't care. I don't care about my side. Like, I don't care. I don't understand this. people feeling so strongly about one side or the other. Who cares?
I don't either. Boy, but it's...
Well, what I don't... You know, I'll tell you what I... One of the arguments that I've been making for a while now is that one of the reasons that our political process has degenerated to this degree is because people think they can get away with it. And one of the reasons they think they can get away with it is because we have about $3 trillion stolen from us every year in the medical industry in this country. It's been roundly illegal for over 100 years to do any of it. Not one person has been indicted. Not one.
Well, nobody can stand up
to
them.
And by the way, you keep hearing this from people on the state side. Oh, well, the states can't do anything about it. It's a federal matter, blah, 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 blah. First off, that's a lie. There is an explicit clause in the federal antitrust laws that say that states may bring what amounts to a parens patri suit. Okay, in other words, they can sue on behalf of their citizens for violations of these laws. They don't need the federal government. And the whole reason that's there is because the people who wrote the law realized, hey, guess what, there might be some corruption in the federal government, but we are supposed to have 50 state attorneys general, and there isn't one of them that will stand up and do anything about this?
Well, Carl, that brings up an interesting question. A very deep question, shall we say. How would something get so entrenched? I mean, this is not the first time human beings are human beings. I mean, even Caesar couldn't stop the doll, right? And he couldn't stop the gladiator fights. They were just too entrenched. Now, whether he liked going to them or not, I don't know. But if he wanted to, he couldn't stop them. What did the guy used to call it? Something. What was the phrase that the old guy did the restaurants of pomp? Is that pomp and circumstance? But it's entertainment.
And circuses.
Yeah. And how exactly? I mean, we've seen a bunch of people. If you and I combined got elected tomorrow, you know, which God help us, how exactly would we put off everything and hope nothing bad happened, like 9/11 to Bush? We just have to everybody stand down for a while, which of course they won't do. How do we even start taking on this medical establishment and these drug companies? They obviously are so. Even Trump said he tried it for a month and he said, "The hell with it, I can't do it." He tried with Boeing. He can't do it. I mean, you're to the point where I've got one aircraft manufacturer, for God's sake. I mean, how much can I spank them? I mean, we're down to how many? I mean, Merck and Pfizer are so powerful. How do we, and these other guys? I mean, how do we? They bought up the genetics. They bought up the generics. How do we even start that as a president when you've got no support in Congress because they're all living off these people? I mean, in our process, that's the one thing that I honestly believe, Carl, that even as good as our piece of paper is, the Constitution is probably the most brilliant document ever written. The thing it did not anticipate, two things. It did not anticipate people miles away influencing other people's elections for representative. How could they possibly? How could you ever expect the guy in Georgia to mess with the guy in New Hampshire's when it's by horseback and it's an 8-day trip? I mean, that's something they couldn't anticipate, and there's no way they can anticipate the size, not the size, but you and I can be the biggest crooks going. We could be the Huey Longs of the world. And you know what? We start pushing 70, we're slowing down. We start pushing 85, we're dead. Or 90, maybe. We're not bothering anybody at 85. We're gone. And the country's older than that. Corporations never die. They just get stronger. You know, I mean, they never anticipated. If you would have walked in that room, Benjamin Franklin, as smart as he was, if you'd walk in that room and said, you know what? What if there actually became these things that never died and actually could put money in all the 535 people's pockets? They'd say, what are you talking about? They'd have no idea what you're talking about. You'd have four heads. So for us to say they anticipated that, how could they? I mean, right now.
Well, yeah, you're right, but there's another aspect to it too, which is that when the 17th Amendment, which was rushed through, one of the fastest constitutional amendments ever passed in the history of the country. It was part of the we got to be more progressive package of people at the time. When we got rid of the state legislature's ability to take the senators from their state, recall them, and throw them out on their ear, what you did was you got rid of the bicameral legislature at the federal level. It's gone. No longer exists. And if you look at all the BS that has gone on and how bad it's gotten, where it really started to accelerate was after that happened.
How often did it happen, though? Did they pull the guy out?
Well, you don't have to do it all that often. The threat is enough, okay? But it's also the one amendment to the Constitution that we can never revoke except with a shooting war, because the Senate will never vote themselves out of office.
Well, but whoa. I mean, I first of all, I know you're right, but I don't see how could the argument be any different then? So this Illinois rears up and say it always was a Republican state, which it hasn't been, and all of a sudden they elect Kyle Denninger, the Democrat, somewhat overwhelmingly. And all of a sudden, a year later, the legislature doesn't like you and pulls you out. How exactly does that, the bitch the Republicans have right now is the election says what it was and you're just trying to redo the election, which isn't
right,
exactly
but see,
true.
Here's the thing. The problem is this. You've got a federal government that says, supposedly we have a limited federal government. Most of the power is supposed to be in the states and the local area, okay? 50 political laboratories, all of which get to make their own decisions, and some win and some lose, and that's the check and balance on it, is that if you stink, then everybody leaves and goes somewhere else. And that's, that was one of the beauties of the way that our governmental system was put together. The problem is that you can't cram mandates down the state's throats if the legislature can turn around and yank the senators. Okay,
well, yeah.
And the threat of it happening is enough to prevent that. So the grassroots people within the state can clamor and clamor and clamor all they want, but the problem is the state has to fund the mandate that comes from the federal government, and the legislature is the one that can veto that by the Senate. The Senate has to pass that bill. That's the tension that was designed into our federalism originally, and we got rid of it with the 17th Amendment. It's gone.
But did it ever happen that the other party guy just won and they turn around and yanked him?
No, but what you did have was you had that tension there where the federal government would say, we want the states to do blah, okay? You pay for it, but here's your mandate. And the states, it never passed through the Senate. The Senate wouldn't pass it. And so the legislature wasn't able to do that. If you wanted to do that, you had to go to the state level and do it state by state.
Well, let's just say that the two-headed ugly monster, you and I, are in the Oval Office. The first thing we do, since obviously this is clearly close to your heart, and it is mine too. I mean, I've said 100 times, it's not who pays for the $5,000 MRI or $6,000. It's the fact that it's $6,000, not $1,000. That's the problem. It doesn't matter who pays for it. It's going to come home to roost somewhere. So you and I get in there, and we go to, I'd let you go dance at all the inaugural balls. I'm not much of a dancer. You go do all that, and the next day we say, all right, you know what? Let's check out this Camp David place. It seems like it's a pretty nice place, but they got all these good pool tables out here. Let's grab 5 of the top people from both sides of the aisle. Let's go down there and say, look, we're actually going to do something. This 20% of the GDP for healthcare is out of control. In the next 4 years, we got to get it down to 15% or 16 or something. We're not going to get it down to 9, but let's get simpler along the line here. We got to get rid of these crooks and prescription drugs. And oh, by the way, even if there's a new patent, 17 years is kind of a long time. And since they're not paying for it, insurances, or maybe we are, the government, you can't just charge whatever you damn well please. There has to be something somewhere where if the pill ends up costing you $1, yeah, there's research and everything, but maybe $1,000 for that pill is a little much. I don't know what the formula ought to be, but maybe not $1,000, somewhere maybe, I'll even go with 50, but I'm not going to go with what do you think happens? I think the people in that room all of a sudden got the itchiest behinds that you've ever seen, and all of a sudden they all got to go to the men's room or something. I think they all just, did something in their pants. Girl, I don't think they have any intention of going down that road with us. And how do we do it by ourselves?
Well, that's the problem at this point, is that it's become so entrenched. I mean, when you look at the problem within the medical field. By the way, you think 9 is crazy? The real number should be 4.
Okay,
and it
but
was
I'm saying,
in 1960.
Let's put it this way: if you and I in 4 years got it from 20 to 16, it's a job well done.
Right, but the number should be 4.
In those days, Carl, they didn't help anybody. They didn't do anything for anybody.
Well, it's kind of amusing when you think about it. The first 80% of any problem is easy and doesn't cost a lot of money. The other 20% costs all the money and gets very little in the way of results for the dollar spent. And that's almost always the case for almost anything. It doesn't matter what the problem is. All right. So if people want to spend that other, you know, that other 20, get that other 20% out of their own pockets, fine. But expecting it to be a mandate and shoved down people's throats is a different story.
Let's put it this way. If, you know, I'm not saying more than you, but I'm an economics guy. What I'm saying is if you and I over the first 4 years got it down from 20 to 15, I think we would hope that it got down to 13 our second 4 years, but it wouldn't be our, we'd be able to focus on something else.
Realize this. If you got it down to 15, that would be, okay, during the so-called Great Recession, the maximum drawdown GDP on an annualized basis was 1.79%.
Yeah.
And that was the worst recession we've had since the 1930s, right?
Right.
Okay, so what happens when you take 5% off GDP?
Well,
two and a half times what you had in 2008.
I don't think you're taking it off GDP. I think you're
moving from one temporarily.
No, you're moving from one pocket to another. When somebody's not getting, somebody else is not paying.
Oh, absolutely. And it would make America insanely more competitive on the world stage.
It would make most people's lives incredibly better.
Yes, it would. But the short-term disruption, and by the way, the 20% of the population that kind of correlates with that 20% of GDP, you know, a quarter of them are going to lose their jobs.
You know what, though, Carl? I think that if...
They'll get a different job. I'm not saying they're going to end up in the streets.
If we started a deal where somewhere, you're right, people end up with less jobs, but we were talking about earlier, and I always try and connect them, the people who make too much money are people who run these hospitals and insurance companies. I mean, whether it gets them. But I'm saying if we could get it from 20 to 16, the mentality we put in the system, I think the momentum would carry it for a while. I mean, the first thing I would do would be drop down into the, you know, knowing a little bit more about stuff. I mean, I hate to use the word transparency because transparency sounds to me like somebody saying quite frankly, and then what, 90% of the time they lie? Whenever people say transparent, it's not transparent. But I mean, if we could somehow decide, okay, if we're going to do MRIs, and I'll pick one thing. I mean, this is what my college professor did. He said you can only pick 4 or 5 things at a time because the system's so big. If we were to say, even if the government loaned money, they're going to have to be in. This is the weird part, Carl. I was talking to my buddies from college, who are all economics guys too. It's almost to the point where if we want the government smaller, it has to be like bigger for a little while just to fix all the messes they've made, get some competition back, and then you can shrink it. But right now, I'm not so sure we don't need to lend money to Nettie Weber's MRI place and have the thing run 24/7 and everybody get to go there at 3 in the morning and get MRI for $600. Now, to the extent that it puts the Northwestern MRI guy out of business, I guess I don't care. And if it means he's got to drop his price because it's a little more convenient to $1,000, I guess that's it. And if somebody wants to pay $400 more on his own to go on a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock instead of 3 in the morning, and that's fine. That's America. You get to do that for convenience or whatever. But insurance is not paying you the other $400-$600. You're doing it on your own. So I mean, but once we start that in a few areas, I got to believe the momentum starts to pick up.
It does. But when you look at the jobs report, we talk about this every month, right? We keep putting 30,000, 35,000 people a month into this part of the system, into this part of the economy, and 9/10 of them, 90%, do nothing other than find ways to screw you out of that 20% of GDP.
Right, they're
not doctors and nurses.
No, yeah, exactly.
Okay, their job is pushing paper around to make the most money flow out of your pocket into somebody else's.
Well, this weekend, since I was talking to a whole bunch of people, all they did was tell me about how people that are joining these doctor groups and guys that have been doctors for, you know, a bunch of years now are doing, emergency room duty like a week a month. I said they're doing that because the group wants to grab anybody that comes into the hospital.
Right.
I mean, it's so insane, and the guys are making less money than they did 20 years ago, which is crazy because obviously, I mean, but this whole thing has to get its the bus has to turn around, and I don't know how you do it. But look at this. Here's the number I was looking at last week, Carl, and you would appreciate these more than anybody. Mind you, that guess what Friday? Well, Friday was two things. You won't know the. I mean, Matty always is aggravated when I ask people questions when I know the answer and they don't. Two things happened on Friday. One is Ted Williams was the anniversary of his last at bat where he hit a home run, by the way, in 1960. And the other was I think the number, the average median, I don't know if it's whatever, for a company to give hospitalization, a full package to a family.
$20,000.
$20,000. I know you would know the answer to that. I think I had you on the Ted Williams, though.
You did, but not on the other one.
Not on the other one.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the U.S. Debt Club, debtclock.org. Median income today, $33,380. Median income 2000, $30,837. Now I'm going to say in 2000 that number was 8 instead of 20, maybe. So we've got if a person has to buy it himself for his family, it's roughly two-thirds of his income. I get a load of this.
Which means he can't eat.
Median new home, 2000. Median new home now. Now, you're going to get these numbers exactly. That's why I'm embarrassed to ask you. Median new home today.
I don't have it in front of me.
Well, I would have guessed 290, but they got 315. Median new home, 2000, 166. Average new car now, this is the average now, and I switched from median to average, so be careful about that. Average new car now, this we've talked about. I actually have it at 32. These guys got it at 37. Average new car, 2000, 22,000. So the guy's income is up $3,000. His health care is up 12. House is up 150, and the car's up 15. How's he doing?
Well, you're dying.
Yeah, you're dying.
And that's and the answer to that is, oh, pull the credit card out and run it up some more.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, but that's what, you know, we talked about earlier, what people do individually. If my son or daughter was singled out in class, they must be innocent. I hear that all the time. You had no right to be here, and you tell the kid it's okay. Instead of saying, no, you were wrong, and if it continues to just be you, I will talk with the principal and figure out why it's just you. But one has nothing to do with whether you're guilty or not. And now we have the situation with the country is on a credit card, and people are on a credit card. So I mean, it's not like the wishes of the people aren't carrying over to the government. It's the same thing.
Well, yeah, and realize that when you talk about the country being on a credit card, the federal government is only collecting the funds to pay for 75% of what it spends.
Where do you get? We might have to do this after the break. Where do you get this other number, other than the $1 trillion that I'm looking at? Where do you get the you always say it's like double that. And after the break, if you could go through that, because I'd love to. I mean, I believe you because you're always right. But I don't know where you're getting it. I mean, I can see the part where the national debt every year grows faster than what they say the deficit is.
Right.
But part of that could be, you know, we're borrowing money for student loans, and by the way, we're giving out student loans, so it could be a pass through. But you're saying it's not.
Well, it makes GDP go up.
Right, but I'm saying, why are you saying that the number is much worse than the trillion they're admitting to?
Oh, because you have to look at the transfers in and out of the Social Security and Medicare system, which the total debt number does, but the official budget number doesn't. And if you read the MTS, there's a whole section that has this little thing in parentheses says off budget.
Well, why do we have stuff off budget?
Oh, because that makes it easier for Congress to say, oh, this is automatic. We don't actually have to vote on this.
Well, we only have 10 seconds. Let's do it in a second. S&P Futures now only up 4. As if Futures up 22. We were up like almost 15 last night. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including 4 past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering 3 research newsletters. the daily news, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right
now. Right here, right now. Right now. Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. Now, Tim Alley's Mr. Harold Dininger, Mr. Matt Weber. S&P futures not only up 450, NASDAQ futures up 22, Dow futures still up 50. So this is Rosh Hashanah. What is it, Carl? Is it sell Rosh Hashanah by Yom Kippur? Is that the old adage? Over in Asia, we've got Nikkei down 123.6%, Shanghai down 26.9%, Hang Seng up 137, 5.5%. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 11.1%. FTSE down 5, call that flat. CAC around up 13.2%. We've got oil. Bonds are not much moving, so I won't give those. Oil down 74 cents. Brent down $1.03. That spread is now, actually, the spread's gone back up to 560. Natural gas, 235. When we come back, I'm going to ask Carl if he thinks that's a buy. Now, we're already starting to get snow out the west, for God's sake. Arbob, $1.64, so it's right where it was before the fiasco over in Saudi Arabia. Yet, some of the gas prices here are still 20 cents higher. Silver down 37 cents. Whack, whack. It was over 18. Now it's 17.28. Gold down 17.20, 14.89. Missed a spread in gold the other day. I'm not so sure that's a good one. Copper unchanged at 260, so not much happening there on the rally part. Maddie, what do you got for us, Travy Weather Sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Traffic starting to build up on the Edens and Kennedy, but no accidents to report. Same for the Eisenhower. That earlier car fire at Route 53 right off of I-290 is all clear, so that's good news. We do still have those ramp restrictions that we talked about in the last hour. Reagan Memorial I-88 eastbound at southbound Tri-State Tollway I-294. There's a new road work configuration on that exit ramp to the southbound Tri-State, where that splits the ramp into two lanes, and so they're expecting this to cause all kinds of delays this morning as folks get used to that change in that new layout. So keep that in mind if you're heading out in that direction. South side looking okay as well, so we're off to a pretty good start. Weather today, the sun is out, the fog has burned off. It's going to be hot and steamy this afternoon for the last day in September. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 85 and some humidity as well. Right now it's sunny and 69 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 90 today. Right now it's clear and 67. In sports, the Bears are 3-1. They took care of the Vikings yesterday 16-6, but there was a cost. Mitchell Trubisky left the game early with a left shoulder injury. He was on the sideline in a splint for the majority of the contest. We'll learn later on today the severity of that as he'll go through MRI. The Cardinals were blown out at home by the Seahawks 27-10. Sunday Night Football, it was the Saints edging out the Cowboys 12-10. Major League Baseball, the Cubs announced that Joe Maddon will not return as manager after five straight winning seasons, including a World Series championship and three NLCS appearances. Cubs finished their year losing to St. Louis 9-0. So Cubs finished at 84-78, obviously missing the playoffs. White Sox beat the Tigers 5-3 to finish up their season 71-89, I think it was. I had it in front of me and it just went away. Diamondbacks topped the Padres 1-0. Chief.
Carl, we have an email from Wayne. It says, as he did predict on the Friday morning show, Kurt Volker, a U.S. Special Envoy of the Ukraine, would resign. Now, who does that help? And whose side is he in? I have no idea who Kurt Volker is.
Oh, that's this Here's another part of the corruption. How is it that you work for the government as a special envoy? In other words, you're basically part of the State Department, right?
Yep.
So your job is to go over there and liaise between government officials. And at the same time, you're working for an institute, and apparently this guy also is a professor. Well, so how many fingers do you get to stick your pie, how many times do you get to put, fingers in different pies?
Now, is he part of the nasty Democrats or is he part of the administration?
No, well, he's sort of part of the administration, and he got named in this whistleblower report, and he turned around and immediately quit. I don't know that there's any there, but certainly didn't make people happy, that he was, he was one of the people that was fingered. There wasn't anything there that fingered him as having done anything inappropriate that I'm aware of, but, who knows? But I thought it was more interesting from a standpoint of, hey excuse me, if you work for the government, aren't you supposed to be working for the government?
You would think. I have no idea. Like I said, Carl, I'm willing to, whatever little trust I have left in people, I'm willing to put some trust in the people doing the investigation. That if there's no real evidence of wrongdoing, that they don't go anywhere. And if there is, that a few Republicans say, well, if it really is enough, we gotta do something. But I'm reading this stuff here today, and I understand why the people younger than us wonder what the bleep. On Friday, we're sitting here minding our own business. All of a sudden, this thing comes out about how the White House is going to do something regarding companies not being able to invest in China. Now, let me get this straight. That's not what we're worried about, is people here investing there. The thing that we should be worried about is people from China investing here and buying the entire company and saying, give me the blueprints for everything you got. I thought that was the problem, not the people here investing less than 50% over there. I mean, I never thought that was anywhere near a problem. I thought maybe the people coming here, but now Trump's old white guy buddies, want China to be able to buy their company at some huge price. So they don't want to shut off that little trickle of cash to maybe me. So you would think that you would say, we're not going to let China buy more than 50% of everything here, or 49%. That, to me, would be the quid pro quo, but we're not going there. Okay, so now all of a sudden we get this thing comes out on Friday. The market, you know, takes a crap. And now this morning, Peter Navarro reports that U.S. would restrict China companies were fake news. Well, I think they came out of the White House, but I don't know. Now, below it, we've got Trump. First of all, remember the old adage when you were a kid? Is those who protest so quickly must be guilty of something?
Right.
You know, Trump asks if Adam Schiff should face arrest for treason as impeachment probe gathers steam. We're going to arrest for treason like a senator? What are we doing here? And yet I'm sure that somewhere in the Trump land, there's 90 million people, 90 million are not that many in the Trump land, there's 5 million idiots running around, shouldn't you say idiots, trying to figure out what's wrong with Adam Schiff and why would Trump say something like that because he never lies. we're not even at 8 o'clock this morning and all this is happening.
Oh, I know, and you know the thing that really gets me is everybody throws that T word around. Treason is the one crime that's actually defined in the Constitution because it was so badly abused by governments for, you know, the last 5,000 years, right, to hang people that there's a hard requirement. It's the only crime that is actually constitutionally defined. And that people are using it in that kind of a fashion, just it makes a hair on the back of my neck stand.
Well, will nobody rid me of this meddlesome priest? What do you mean? You guys killed a guy? What did you do that for? What was the crime?
Here's what's driving all this, though. When you get down to it, okay, you know, you asked before the break about the whole thing with with the budget numbers and all of this. Okay, up until the end of August. Between Medicare and Medicaid, the federal government has spent $1.465 trillion.
Now, they should get a little... Okay, they spent how much? They're admitting to one.
$1.465 trillion Medicare and Medicaid, between the two.
Okay,
that's the total.
All right, okay. Fair enough. All right, go ahead.
They are a trillion in the hole on their budget deficit.
Right, with maybe... Okay. Maybe a surplus this month. They might get back under a trill.
Yeah, it probably will because it's a tax month. September's a taxpayer month for estimateds and corporates. So normally September is slightly positive. Not by a lot, but it usually is positive. So the thing is, though, they're not going to stop the spending. Okay, the 4.65 is going to go up. And if you look at that, that's a 7% increase over last year. To put perspective on this, which means that in 10 years it will double again, right? And 20 years ago, when this pattern started showing up, I said, there's no possible way this can continue. It's going to destroy the federal government and its budget, and since it's being shoved down to the states via Medicaid, it's going to destroy all state budgets too. And people said, oh, no, you're a lunatic. This will stop. Well, it hasn't stopped. It's 20 years later, and this is why I have said, by 2024, this has to be stopped, or we have a fiscal detonation, and you're not going to want to live within 50 miles of any large city because they're all going to be on fire.
I think you're right.
You look at this number, and you double that in 10 years, that is the size of the entire tax revenue that is taken in today.
I don't disagree. I mean, I don't understand why people just keep thinking another few months. I'm looking... I got my page up here, which I shouldn't. State, how can this even possibly be, Carl? I mean, I understand that states try and do this cash-based accounting instead of accrual, but I've got state debt here, $1.2 trillion. Unfunded pension liability, $6.7 trillion? How is that not? How is that not part of the debt? Is it's not accrued?
Oh, they just, you know, this is Washington-based accounting. This is the reason that when I look at these numbers, I say, look, whatever they tell you the budget deficit is, it's a lie. Okay, the truth is nobody borrows money they don't spend, and it just never happens. So if you want to know what the real budget deficit is, go to debt to the penny, take, you know, September 30 to September 30, whatever the date range you want. That's the change.
I would agree.
And that's it. You can't argue with the checkbook. Nobody, you know, everyone plays games with accounting, accounting statements and balance sheets and things like that.
How much of it is not to change? I mean, I agree with it. It's not very much, but how much of that is being lent out to other people and becomes an asset?
So there's a lot of hand waving that goes on about that. But when you look at the investment component of GDP, there's a lot of noise made about how tax cuts and, you know, machinations from the Republicans, they flow into business investment and personal investment. But when you look at GDP, what you'll find is that number is remarkably stable as a percentage of total.
Where I'm getting to for the listeners, I'm sliding an economic or an accounting thing in here, is if the federal government, I'm not saying they're doing this, that's what I'm asking Carl, if the federal government went out and borrowed $100 billion and turned around and gave out SBA loans for 50 and student loans for 50, they have a $100 billion liability, but they also have $100 billion in asset. So it's a wash. So it's unfair to call that all debt. But so I'm going to say the difference between your numbers and mine, Carl, let's say, 25% of it might be something like that, but not much more.
Oh, not even. Because the thing is, when you look at where the money actually goes, you know, everybody likes to talk about, you know, well, we can cut spending by, you know, in discretionary programs or whatever, right? But the truth is that none of that means anything in terms of percentages. The vast majority, the federal government so far has spent about $4 trillion this year, and out of that, $1.5 trillion is on two programs. All right, that's, and then defense is another 700. So you take those three programs,
right,
and it's more than half.
That's why I think we're going to see, if Trump doesn't get bounced or whoever gets in the first next year, Democrat, Republican, whoever it is, it almost doesn't matter. You're going to see a tax increase, a serious one, and it's going to be very regressive. Because it'll be the same thing as Ronald Reagan in 1981, 1982. And you're going to see an increase in payroll taxes, Social Security taxes, and gas taxes. They'll more than make up for the whatever they lost last time, but now it'll be the people making $30,000 a year or $33,000 a year trying to pay it, and they can't.
Social Security is not that hard to fix, okay? You could lift the cap partially and modestly increase the rate. I mean, it wouldn't take that much. And you could balance it. Social Security, everyone, all the politicians take, they call entitlements, is what they always say, because they don't want to deal with the programs on a separate basis. Social Security has an issue, but it is resolvable. And by the way, all those old geezers eventually all die, right?
Yeah.
So it's a pig in the python problem that solves itself, because the python eventually, you know, does you know what with what's left of the
pig.
Yeah,
but it doesn't, but what is... Lewis talked about, and he doesn't have the numbers in front of him like you do. It used to be all old age, where if you jumped at the 68, you get rid of, you know, even 67 and a half, you get rid of a massive amount of the problem. But, except for the fact that everybody wants a firebird before then. But now, what about the 90-some million people that are on this long-term disability? That part of Social Security was always in a big surplus. It's not going to be very long, or if it is, That's where the new problem is coming, right?
Well, it's not a surplus anymore. A huge percentage of the people that are on that program are scamming. Not all of them, by a stretch of the imagination.
Let's back up a second.
Shut it off because it really was part of the deal. Okay, but the guy who can run marathons and is on SSDI, that's an issue.
Well, let's go. Stop for a second. Just for people's education and mine too, when people say Social Security, it's actually four programs, correct? It's old age dependent, disability.
OASDI is its technical term.
But I mean, okay, it's I can only name three.
Old age survivors, disability, basically.
Old age survivors, and then there's also isn't there an aided dependent children in there too?
Well, no. Aided dependent children is a separate. That's the AFDC is a separate program. But if you die, and you have under 18 dependents, and you have qualified for Social Security benefits, they will get a check until they become of age.
Right. If that happened to me.
Right, and that's part of the Social Security program.
And then there's the disability. There's the old age, and isn't there like a very small piece? It's like a death benefit. It's a couple grand if you croak or something.
Yeah, there's another, and the rules get a little complicated if you're married, and you know, because you're entitled to some piece of your former partner's benefit.
But basically, it's not one program; it's four, correct?
Yeah, but the thing is that when you get down to it, the cash deficit that Social Security is running is not very large.
Well, no,
it used to be. The one you can't fix is Medicare.
Yeah, but it used to be that the disability part was flush, and now it's not,
right.
Because it's becoming long term unemployment in a lot of areas of the country.
Right, that's true. But in terms of the actual percentage of the program, the impact of it, that's not where the problem is.
Okay.
Is it running a deficit now? Yes, but is that where the insolvency is going to come from? No.
At least not yet.
Well, I mean, at the point that it all goes under, you know, then I guess it really doesn't matter, right? I mean, you know, yeah. who cares who gives you the last quarter inch that shoves your head under the water?
But it's not designed to be paying disability for 30 million people.
Oh, no, absolutely not. And it's being ridiculously abused.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
so.
I mean, what do you, you know, it was, I, that guy, I find it from time to time if I Google, I'm not good at Googling stuff, but the guy from the Washington Post that wrote I don't know what the name of the article was, but he essentially said there's a horseshoe of despair, right? If you start in Appalachia, go south, across Alabama, up into Arkansas, it's basically the armpit of the, you know, that whole area where, and he had certain spots, certain counties where, you know, what is it, like 20-30% of the people are on disability.
Oh, more than that.
But you know, the weird part was, Carl, is when you dug into the detail, and I actually read the stuff, it was, he said, in areas where they interviewed these people in this county in Alabama, and one lady was working in a nursing home forever, and a nursing home didn't have that machine. Now, my stepfather was in Mantino. If you had a big guy, you actually get there, and the guy put his arms in, and the machine picked the person out of bed and put them on their feet. Real easy to use, made sense. Well, before that, you had the orderly essentially picking up 250-pound people 20 times a day, male or female. And they're interviewing this lady, and she's on disability. She goes, I could probably work somewhere, at a desk. I mean, I could route trucks. I can do something. I'm not an idiot. She goes, I don't know anybody who's ever had a job sitting at a desk. And she goes, by the time you're 50, if you're lifting up, 100 patients a day, you've got a bad back. She goes, would I be disabled for a job where I could sit and do stuff or drive a school bus or whatever? No. But in this county, in this place, where there's no jobs like that around, I'm disabled. And you know what? I'm not sure she's not right, Carl, but we don't see that any mechanism for moving these people to where there are. I mean, she sounded like she was bright enough. She was a nurse, for God's sake. I mean, it's not like you couldn't put her somewhere. But the mechanism, the transfer, the ability for people to move, whether she could sell her house and go somewhere else or afford the rent in Chicago or someplace, even if there was a job here. I mean, we have, all these problems are massive in terms of, why can't we, all the people in the simple stuff that we don't do, Carl. I mean, Beloit loses, I forget it was a Chevy plant or whatever the hell it was. Okay, well, we've got a train, a commuter train to Chicago that stops, I'm going to say, 40 miles from Beloit. Why can't we make that a 75-mile-an-hour track and extend the computer line to Beloit? Maybe we can get 300 people from Beloit that work in Chicago, for God's sake. I mean, something that would help the Beloit. I mean, we don't even have little solutions for people. We just keep bitching about it. I mean, and I think the solutions are a bunch of little solutions, really. And I don't think, do we have anybody who's bright enough to think any of this stuff? Or if somebody brought it up, that train wouldn't run until you and I were so dead, the cemetery would be closed. It'll be a 30-year project when the tracks are already there. I mean, is there any adult anywhere? I mean, I actually saw a bumper sticker the other day. 2020, any adult?
Yeah. Yeah, part of the problem is that the first question gets asked is who's going to get hosed, and oh, by the way, that guy gave my political campaign $500,000.
But I think a lot of these people are on disability, although I do think, and this is not a shot at my fellow human beings, that if you're not working for a year or two, the thought of doing something for 40 hours a week, you almost can't get it in your schedule. I mean, it starts to get weird. I mean, if you've been off so long. But I think most people, I mean, I always think that most people, if you gave them some kind of a job, I mean, I bet half of those people that are, especially the nurses and people like that and orderlies at these places, if we had something here, could they come in here and do some stuff and do emails for people and whatever? Why not? I mean, we don't have, that kind of business right now, but I mean, I got to believe that if you could move these people somewhere, that you could find something for them to do. But there's nothing for them to do, Carl.
Because they have to stuff. But we need to solve the numbers problems within the federal budget. We are not going to get through the next presidential term.
No,
that's fact. And anyone that thinks that we can just turn around and continue to issue debt into that environment, you're smoking something.
Well, I agree. Okay, I don't understand the demand. This is median income number out of all the bazillion numbers on this U.S. debt clock page. That's the number that's a problem, Carl. If that number was 50, we wouldn't have any problems.
Well, but here's the thing. It's what I always. You're right, but if the car was $22,000 and health insurance for a family of four was $6,000, you also wouldn't have the problem.
Well, we have to, without being Elizabeth Warren or AOC, I think, I'm not an Elizabeth fan, but IOC is young, so I'll cut her some slack. But when you look at this stuff and you say, okay, wait a minute, how is it that the average price of a new car has gone from $22,000 to $37,000, and yet the United Auto Workers are on strike because they can't get a dollar raise? Where the hell exactly is the $15,000 going?
Back
in the 2008 fiasco, they're talking about GM went bankrupt. People would say these union guys are screwing everybody, blah blah blah. And I said, by the way, you having a huge opinion, which most people do know. How many cars hours do you think it makes? How many labor hours go into assembling a car? What do you mean? Well, I mean you're saying it's a union problem.
Right.
How many hours do you think go into assembling a car? Well, I have no idea. Well. Would you say it's 500? Yeah, probably. So labor is a big cost of the car. Well, yeah. So what would you do if I told you it's like 30? and they look at you like it can't be. Yeah, no, it is. So even if you're talking 50 bucks an hour, which it isn't, that's, what is that? 1,500 bucks?
Right. Where's the rest of it?
Where's the rest of it? And the guy looks at me and says, well, it can't be. No, it is. I mean, that's where we are. I mean, maybe it's 70 if you include putting the transmission together some other place or whatever, but it's not 500 like it used to be. And back in those days, by the way, the guys made almost as much and the cars were $5,000. I mean, where is this dough going, Carl? There needs to be a major shift all over the place. It's funny. We only got 2 minutes here, but it was pretty off color. I said, but if somebody said, if I can get some, 40-year-old, 35-year-old, terrific lady with nursing experience to come over and give me an hour and a half back rub for $5, wouldn't that be great? And somebody would say, yeah, that'd be great. I said, no, it wouldn't. Because what would the rest of society have to look like for this lady to be willing to do that for me for $5? It'd have to look like a war zone. It wouldn't be great at all. The idea is for that to be $100 because that's what... Somebody, that there's actually a demand for labor. There's no demand for labor, Carl. Why is that?
You look at where you have a dual currency system nation, claiming to be a developing nation. They're the second largest economy in the world, and they have been siphoning off an amount of capital into their country that becomes a roach motel because they can prevent you from leaving with it. And that's what dual currency systems right. allow you to do. I mean, Cuba has one too, all right? And the reason that we have so many politicians that fawn over themselves to not do anything about this, and that there's all these tremors going on because Trump is doing something about it, sort of, kind of, with China, is that this is all part of the way you can manage to run a $1 trillion deficit and not have your debt market blow up in your face about 15 minutes later.
God. Hey, I got a quick question for you. I just saw this. I'm sorry to interrupt. Giuliani cancels paid appearance next week at Kremlin-backed conference. I thought if he's on the salary here, how do you get paid for a Kremlin-backed conference?
Well, no, he's a private attorney. He's not on the U.S.
Okay,
payroll.
Okay, he's not on the payroll.
No.
So who's paying? Oh God. Well, Carl, we'll have you back soon, buddy. Thank you very much. S&P futures only up 175 now. NASDAQ futures up 11. Nice job, Carl. Very, very good stuff. By the way, we'll talk about some tweets tomorrow because we got a lot of those. We'll be back tomorrow on Stocks and Jocks.
Hey, guys. What's up, G? Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit hamzyanalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.